You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Back on the bubble, Syracuse picks up a big 10-point win over Clemson, and boy, we're breaking it down for you here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Aki, no Tim Leonard today. Tiger Tim is having the day off today. We've got Tar Heel Tim, Tiger Tim, he's off today. He'll be back with us later on in the week. Instead, we have James Zuba from Noon's Magician, one of our favorite guys to have on the program. James, thanks so much for joining us for today's show, but I guess I have to play gatekeeper here. Are you over 5 foot two? Because I guess that's the bar we're setting right now. You have to be over 5 foot two if you want to talk about this team. Are you over 5'2"? Can I have you on the show today?
Man, you have to be this tall to ride this ride. I am. I'm 5 foot nine. So I think I broke the
all right. Good. I've never been so happy to be 5'11" in my life, right? It's just one of those. We'll get to the comments Jim Boeheim made. He was going after our guy Goody. Really unfair, and we'll break it all down later on in the show. But I think we start off with the guards because they really stole the show in this game. I mean, you can look at Alan Griffin's second half. He was fantastic. He got going from three, ends up shooting 50%, 6 of 12 in this game. Double-double for him, 22 and 10. And how about the play of Joe Girard? I know it doesn't look super flashy with 7 points. When you think about when Joe Girard was being brought into this program, and you saw he had a 7-point game, you wouldn't have thought that that is going to be a great indicator of success, but he had the 7 assists, no turnovers in this game. Kadari was good out there when he did get out there, but let's be honest, he was not healthy out there. He did not look like himself, 0 of 4 from the field, but he did have assists. I thought he played very well still, even in his limited 18 minutes, but Joe Girard gave them a nice little spark to compliment Kadari because he was not 100% and you could see it.
Yeah, no question. And right off the top with Kadari, we were told before the game that he has some right knee soreness. Obviously came off the court against North Carolina in the final 4 minutes and didn't play down the stretch. So only 18 minutes for him today. Definitely didn't look as explosive or like his usual self out there. All 5 of his points came from the free throw line. So, nothing doing on the field goals. But definitely encouraging, like you said with Girard, 7 points, not going to stand out on the stat sheet. But he looked a little bit better out there. I think the 7 assists are a good sign. No turnovers. That's obviously great. Syracuse hasn't really turned it over much all year. But the guards played well. Buddy Boeheim continues to shoot it well down the stretch. Not a good day for him today from the 3-point line. He's only 2 of 10, but still 17 points for Buddy. So he continues to play pretty well outside of the shooting today. And then Alan Griffin, obviously he's at the forward spot and he's been a little bit up and down, but a great shooting day for him. 6 of 12 from beyond the 3-point arc today.
And one of the things that, especially against a good Clemson defense, that I was impressed with Griffin is the one turnover, because that's been his bugaboo all year long. When he is turning the ball over and really when he's putting the ball on the ground is sometimes means for disaster for him. But in this game, only the one giveaway, and he had 3 blocks in this game. He was effective on both ends of the floor. And in the second half, he just really got going. It was one of those things Tim and I always like to talk about. And Jim even brought it up, I believe, in his press conference after UNC, was he has to find other ways to be effective. And I think out of all the players on this team, he is one of those guys who can find other ways to be effective, whether it's blocking shots, whether it's rebounding the basketball. He rebounds and plays bigger than his size. And that's been his MO pretty much all season long. But in this game, we got the full Alan Griffin experience where you see the really bad half, maybe not bad half, but an underwhelming half, and then you explode in the second half and put together one of your best games of the season and ultimately carry this team to victory.
Yeah, it's interesting with him. He's been so up and down, right? On Saturday at Georgia Tech, he had a big game, and then he followed it up with only 4 points against North Carolina. Today, decent first half, but as you mentioned, he comes out of the gate in the second half and just shoots lights out. He banks 3 triples in a row. And
he got the one that hit every part of the rim, too. I mean, sometimes it's just your day. We saw it with Buddy. Sometimes it's just your day. It was Alan Griffin's day in this one.
Yeah, no question. Gets the double-double as well. He's impacting the game in other areas. He had 3 blocks as well. So it's a good game for Alan Griffin. He's just got to be more consistent. That's all he's got to work on.
Now, the whole faction of the fan base that loves Kadari, and I know you and I, we love ourselves some Kadari Richmond. He's going to be a star with this team moving forward, assuming he's back for his sophomore season. And I don't see why he wouldn't be back for his sophomore season, but Kadari, this was one of those games where everyone likes to call for Kadari, and you and I, I'm sure, have been yelling at our televisions at points. Why is Kadari not in this ball game right now? But this was one of those games where I actually felt the opposite way. That knee was so dinged up. You could tell it was affecting him. He was hobbled out there on the floor. It affected his range of motion. And Joe Girard was playing well. I mean, I was yelling at the TV this time, why is he out there? He was out there for long stretches of the game with a clearly hobbled knee. I think Boeheim said after the game, he thought Kadari was moving well. That's not the way I saw it from my point of view. I don't know what you were. You at the game, by the way?
No, I wasn't there today.
So why do you hate Syracuse basketball? I mean, they're what, 9-0 with you there, and you decide to sit out one of the biggest games of the year?
9-0, couldn't make it. Hey, it was a 5 p.m. tip. If it was a 7 p.m. tip, I would have been able to get there. But a 5 p.m. tip.
No, but I mean, from what you saw, though, in terms of Kadari's movement, to me, he did not look right out there. And I know it came very close to him maybe not even playing in this game as well, but I would not have put him in with the way that Griffin was cooking in the second half, with the way that Girard was playing in a supplementary role. I saw no reason to keep Kadari Richmond in the game. I mean, Girard came in at a point off the bench and he forced two turnovers and picked up 5 quick points. That's something we have. That is the old Joe Girard that we're used to. And I look at this and I'm thinking, why is Kadari Richmond in the game if he's hobbling around like this?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And Joe looked a lot better today than he's looked in recent games, really all season. You know, he had some good games earlier in the year, but he was kind of up and down. But this was the Joe Girard of old. This is kind of the Joe Girard that we're used to seeing. I think people have been unfairly critical of him to a degree. I think some of the criticism is fair, but sometimes you hear things like he's not an ACC player. He's undersized. He's not athletic.
Can't wait till he averages 20 for Siena next season. That's yeah. My favorite. That's ripe. That one's great.
That's a bridge too far. I think there, and you know, the book is not written on Joe Girard yet. So not the kind of season we were expecting him to have. Definitely dealing with some adversity, dealing with some challenges. We know he had COVID this year, and frankly, you know, he's well beyond that. He just hasn't played well that to the point that where he's really capable of. But let's you know, take a step back from that, and you know, the book is not written on Joe Girard. So let's take a step back and see what he could do in the coming years. But yeah, Kadari, we'll see what happens. But 6 days of rest for him. Sounds like Syracuse is not going to schedule another game. At least Jim Boeheim didn't.
Nor should they. I mean, that would be 4 in a week.
Right. Yeah. Three games in 5 days. You're playing right now. And then to schedule another one Saturday is kind of overkill. So, you know, they can rest up for the ACC tournament and they need it. They need it in a big way.
Hey, real quick, got to tell you about the best and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. It's betonline.ag. You know, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and hockey are all in full swing right now. And betonline.ag, they don't just have sports action. You can get in on awards, TV shows, reality TV. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets. And the best part is, it's free to sign up. So head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. You put in 100, you're going to get 50 on the house when you use our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I want to get back to what you were saying about Joe Girard, because yes, I don't think the book is written on Joe Girard. I feel like people are looking at him like he came in a class with Buddy Boeheim and we're expecting him to be a junior or senior. And maybe that's the whole point of, oh, well, he started a bulk of his freshman year. And usually, I mean, we've seen it lately when you're starting as a freshman at Syracuse, that's a high bar these days. Usually even guys like Tyus Battle came off the bench. Tyler Lydon came off the bench as freshman. We expect to see freshmen, if they're starting, pretty much go to the next level and be that one and done type of guy. That's just the way that not just Syracuse, but really college basketball in general is these days. And I feel like that's part of the reason why Joe Girard isn't being evaluated fairly, because this is not a guy who's going to leap to the league after a year, 2 years, even 3 years. I mean, I think every Syracuse fan fully expects him to be around for 4 years, and it's going to be a developmental thing. He's in year two of potentially five for this Syracuse team now.
Yeah, some of that probably had to do with unrealistic expectations at the start.
Yeah.
If you remember him coming into his freshman year, obviously he's coming off a storied high school campaign. He's the New York State kid. He's the local.
I don't know if you heard, he went to the same high school as Jimmer Fredette.
Are they brothers?
They might be. I don't know.
They talk. I think they have a relationship, actually. It's crazy. Yeah.
He played quarterback too. I don't know if you heard that one.
State champ? Yeah. Yeah.
At the Dome.
Comes in 50 points a game coming off that in high school. And I think people kind of expected a little bit too much too soon. And I think we had a little bit of confirmation bias when he starts, right? He takes Jalen Carey's starting spot and okay, here's Joe Girard, the white hope. This year, different story. He takes a step back, and you go so far in the other direction to with some of the comments that we were talking about earlier about, you know, not being an ACC player. So I think some of it, you know, a lot of the criticism and a lot of the things that get talked about now have to do with the expectations that were set in the beginning. But it's not a good season for him. Everybody knows that. I think he'd be the first to tell you that. But let's see what Joe Girard can become. I think there's still some more chapters to be written here.
Let's talk about what this means for the tournament now, because Syracuse, all of a sudden, I mean, we saw a little Lenardi in this game. He made his cameo spot. He'll be making the rounds. You'll be seeing him on your television a whole heck of a lot over these next week and a half now. But he's kind of laid it out. Syracuse needed that game against Clemson, green check mark. And now on top of that, they're going to need two more wins in the ACC tournament. There's a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different ways this whole thing can play out. But in terms of matchups you like, matchups you don't like, I'm thinking for Syracuse in the ACC tournament. And one of the things that I've been really impressed with over the last 2 years, and I tweeted out the stat, and it's even furthered itself now, but Jim Boeheim is now 11-1 over the past two seasons when he faces a team for the second or third time in a season. To me, that kind of shows you how he's kind of doing more with less, because I don't think the personnel has been up to Syracuse standards these past couple of seasons. Now, of course, that falls on Jim's plate because that's a recruiting matter. But in terms of the X's and O's of coaching, I've said all season long, I think Jim's actually done a pretty good job, especially in-game adjustments. Just think about how many times you've seen this team come back in the second half and win a basketball game that they need. So I look at this and I really think this is going to help them out, because listen, if they play Pitt for some reason in this ACC tournament, this is not the Pitt team that's beaten Syracuse twice already. All right. And I know Boeheim is probably going to have a field day and say they're so much better without Xavier Johnson and Audis Tony. I mean, that's the conversation we're going to be having. But regardless, the second time around, Syracuse has proven it's been much better. And maybe it's not out of the question to say that they can pick up two wins in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing a lot of Joe Lenardi. I think we quite literally saw a lot of him today. You might have been able to see up his nostrils when he was on the television screen. But he's deep in the bracket bunker. We're going to be seeing a lot of him. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I believe last year going into the ACC tournament, I believe Syracuse was undefeated in repeat opponents.
Yeah, they went 7-0 last year.
Right. And then this year, as you mentioned, they only lost the second game to Pittsburgh. And a lot of that does have to do with coaching and preparation. Now Boeheim shouldn't be given a free pass necessarily on some of the recruiting issues and some of the other things. But I do think, to your point, that when you play an opponent for a second time, you've seen them once, you can kind of prepare, you can kind of adjust a little bit differently. And it does speak to that. But net, the point I think we're getting at here is they're going to have to win at least a couple games in the ACC tournament, because obviously 13-1 at home is great. You're 2-7 on the road and you're 0-0 in neutrals. So you haven't really proven that you can win away from home. We all know that Syracuse is 0-6 in quadrant one games, but you know, NC State did knock off, you know, we're recording this Wednesday night, NC State did knock off Notre Dame. So there's a chance they can move up into that quadrant one category, but you're going to need to win at least a couple of games away, and you're probably going to need one or two quadrant one wins. So Syracuse still has some work to do here. Obviously, you want to get closer to the, you know, as close to the bubble as you can in a year like this too, because even if you're out, there's a chance you could still be a contingency team. So you obviously just want to keep winning and get as close as possible.
And wouldn't that be the most Syracuse thing ever to back your way into the tournament like that? I mean, how about that? They'll fall in and be a three seed, and Boeheim will be touting that he was a three seed back in the good old year of 2021. But anyway, I look at this, okay? You are cheerleading super hard for the following teams the rest of the way. Clemson, UNC, Virginia Tech, and NC State. You are their biggest fans because you have no more games on your schedule, nor are you likely to have any appear on your schedule for the rest of the regular season. So you got to root for those teams so that some of those wins that you already have in the bag elevate to a quadrant one opportunity for this team, because who knows, maybe you really could end up with potentially two, maybe even three, if you're really lucky, quadrant one wins when it's all said and done, even though we sit here right now and NC State is fluctuating in and out of being maybe that first quadrant one win.
Yeah, NC State's got the best chance to be there. I don't know that we're going to see Virginia Tech get there. They're in the mid-40s last time I checked. So they would have to jump up 15 spots. I mean, they might have to win the ACC tournament to do something like that. Another interesting note, I don't know if it totally tips the scales or really moves the needle, but Georgetown, Notre Dame, and Buffalo are all 80s in the net. All those were home games for Syracuse, so that means they're all in the quadrant three. If any of those guys slide up to 75 or better, those quadrant three wins can move up to quadrant two as well. So I don't know that tips the scales in your favor, but it is something to watch. And obviously, as it relates to your resume, you'd always rather have the higher quadrant wins.
No doubt. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see down the stretch how everything plays out. And this ACC tournament, I mean, there are certain matchups you definitely favor more than others. And I'm sure we'll get into it more and more as we get closer and closer to when the bracket is set and all that. I think it's all premature to really dive in and speculate on who Syracuse's opponents might be right now. But have you heard about Tim and my little, it's not really a bet, but I guess it's like a punishment that we're handing out to ourselves, because we said after the Georgia Tech loss, season's cooked. Have you seen this whole like TikTok challenge where what you do is you get an orange? And it's for someone who loses their taste and smell because of COVID-19. You take an orange, you burn it to the chars, and then you mix it with like brown sugar and you eat it, and somehow magically your taste is back. Tim and I are going to participate in that challenge, even though we have not gotten COVID-19, knock on wood. But we're going to eat that orange if they somehow make their way into the tournament from Greg Gumbel calling out the Syracuse name on Selection Sunday. We've got one of our great Twitter followers, Lee, who said weeks ago as well, I will eat my shoe if Syracuse gets their way into the tournament. And he tweeted a picture at us, a picture of his shoe on his kitchen counter with a bottle of ketchup next to it. So I think Lee might be on the panic seat as well, but I'm definitely not totally worried about having to eat this orange concoction yet, but I might have to go to the grocery store. Let's put it that way.
Hey man, I must be getting old because I haven't seen any of this on TikTok or anything. But let me say this. I do have some oranges in my refrigerator. So should anything happen, maybe we could get a video together and you know, make something happen there. And maybe Lee can get involved too. I hope he likes leather because, man, he might need that ketchup too, because that's going to be a tough
shooter. Yeah, tougher than a $2 steak, right? Let's get into what Jim Boeheim had to say after the game, because he went pretty harshly after our guy Goody. And I mean, it's gotten to the point, and we've gotten some Twitter responses too on it. It's almost to the point now where you're rooting for the players. You're really rooting for the players at this point because of some of the things that he has said. He basically calls out Goody for his comments. And listen, we've said Goody was probably a little ambitious with his 17-5 record for Syracuse had they played Jesse Edwards more this season, and Jesse only ends up playing 3 minutes in this Clemson game, but they didn't really need him. Again, Clemson's not an overly big team as well, but he calls out Goody, calls him 5'2", which I did not understand. I don't know where he's gathering that from. I know they've met person to person. I'm pretty sure Goody's been over to his house too, so I don't know where that is coming from. But he's just going all over the place. Listen, you're the person who's grown up in Syracuse, a lifelong Orange fan. I'm the transplant who went to school there and now covers them. Is it getting harder and harder for you to watch some of the things that the beloved hero, the man who has built this program up to what it is now, is it getting harder and harder for you to watch it?
Look, I mean, we've seen this all season and it's accelerated, and we've kind of seen this program make headlines for all the wrong reasons this year. That's not to say that Syracuse has been terrible. I think they've been fair. They've won some games that, you know, certainly two of the last games have been good wins, and, you know, you beat Virginia Tech, but not the kind of Syracuse seasons that we're used to seeing this program ascend to. And a lot of the times when Syracuse has made headlines this year, it's for something Jim Boeheim has said in post-game pressers that by and large have been uncalled for. This isn't the only time that it's happened. You know, we saw it just a few weeks ago with Jay Billis. Some of those comments after this thing was dead and buried, he says, "I know more than him." You know, that was kind of unnecessary. This tonight was a little goofy to me because Goody had said that they had talked about it and that it had been resolved. So for this to be kind of dead and buried again, you know, water under the bridge, and then to bring it out again in a public way is just a little goofy to me. Especially when you call out him for being 5'2" and, you know, never playing basketball. Like, I didn't realize you had to be a certain height to be able to know about basketball.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's again, you know, I use the word goofy. It's just a little bit goofy to me. It is becoming a little bit too much. I think some of this stuff is just uncalled for. It's indicative, I think, of where the program is at this point.
No doubt. It feels childish. It really does. I mean, this thing, if you're going to win graciously, like, listen, Boeheim, I think, has largely been right about his overarching points this season. And I think it kind of played out today. You beat a quality tournament team in Clemson today, and you did it largely without an impact from Jesse Edwards, and Kadari Richmond was out there with a bum knee. Win graciously. That's all. We're not asking. You don't have to turn everything into an I told you so convention whenever you're right. I mean, you don't see all of these other coaches going out there and calling out every single hack writer who's wrong. And I'm not calling Goody a hack, obviously, but like, there are people who have said and declared much worse. Let's put it that way. Okay. And those other coaches choose to ignore it. And this is one of those instances where it just feels like it's childish. Drop it, bury the hatchet, especially if it's said to be buried. And you don't have to revive these dead bodies.
Right. And let's come correct. I mean, there was nothing really inappropriate about what Goody asked. Could he have phrased the question a little bit differently? Yeah, sure. You know, I think he could have phrased it a little bit differently. But all Jim Boeheim had to come out and say was, you know, Jesse, he gave us some good minutes tonight. He's improving. He's getting better. He's not quite where we want him to be totally effective yet. But he's getting better. We didn't play him earlier in the season because we played some smaller teams. He has issue getting to the corner. But he's improved and he's gotten better. And that's why he saw action tonight. And he was really good tonight, even though he still got to improve. That's the only message.
PR 101, hire Zuba. Like that was, oh man, that was picture perfect. And then we have no trouble here, but he continues to fight this war. It's embarrassing. It's tough to watch as a program. I bring up the statement all the time. Like, sometimes you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And it's starting to get to that point now where he could have retired and he would not see himself become the villain, but it's creeping closer and closer to him potentially becoming that guy who you root for the program, for the players, and not necessarily for the guy who built it to the great stages that it's at right now.
Boeheim going out as the Joker. It's interesting. His career on the whole has been incredible. The fact that he's ever won at Syracuse is amazing. Yeah. It's been a mostly sad ending to a legendary Hall of Fame career. And there's been some bright moments. There's been some good runs in the NCAA tournament, but I don't think it's going to be ultimately a run that is measured favorably when you look at the whole course of his career.
Yeah. By the way, programming note, Matthew Gutierrez will be on the show to respond to some of these allegations. So we will have him on Friday to check that out. We're taking tomorrow off because we gave you that bonus episode on Thursday. James Zuba, taller than 5'2". He's qualified to talk Syracuse basketball with us. And we thank him so much for joining us here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Anything, what do you have to plug? Where can we find your work? Where can we find you and get some of your work when you're covering Syracuse basketball?
Well, I'm glad I'm 5'9" and able to ride the ride, because it certainly has been a roller coaster ride. But you can follow me on Twitter at James Zuba. Of course, you could read the site, newsmagician.com. Not just myself. We have, you know, a lot of good people over there doing some really good work. John Casillo has done a tremendous job managing the site. And we've got some up-and-comers as well. Christian DeGuzman's doing really good work for us as well. So you can read the site, follow me on Twitter, and follow us on Twitter at News Magician as well. And shout out to you guys as well, man. You guys are one of the best listens on podcasts as far as it goes for Syracuse. So I tune in frequently, and you know, always happy to come on, and thankful for you guys having me on.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, James Zuba, Noon's Magician. Check him out wherever you can find him, whether it's on the site, whether it's on Twitter. He's always putting out great content. All right, Tim and I will be back with Goody. All of you have to tune into that, because he's going to address a lot of the conversations and back and forths and spats that he has had with one James Arthur Boeheim. That's coming up on Friday. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon.